are like, okay, like we definitely want to, we want to keep doing this. So, I think that was like in terms of like 2020 ultimately being like a reset for a lot of people to consider how they're living their lives and how they would like to forward it. It allowed us to like make changes that were ultimately the best thing that could have happened for us, like creatively and as a project.
Very cool. Did you find like returning to like making music together after, I'm sure like you said there was a lot of time like in separation because pandemic does that to people. Was that an easy re-entry into like creative collaboration for you?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think we wrote those songs like so quickly. And I mean, it just like it had been like I was like aching to just like play guitar loudly again, like was living in a row home in Philadelphia. Like I can't like really make a ton of noise. So it was the first time that we I think a lot all of us were able to like play loudly and like freely and just kind of let ourselves go off into it and like, chase it wherever it went. And like just also realizing like what an important part of my life that is, and the fact that we were kind of like without it and without each other for so long was very strange.
It must have been a wonderful emotional release too, to be able to just be loud and free.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was very cathartic.
I guess we talked a little bit about kind of the environment of like the global pandemic and what that kind of had for your music, but what about like kind of, I guess, current cultural environments that we're all kind of finding ourselves in now? I think it's pretty well understood that we're globally in a really concerning moment in history. And like personally for myself, I now more than ever really want to hear people like unapologetically express like their fear and their anger and like even desire as like this form of like resistance. Is that something that's like resonating for you as an artist that has been like making music about like anger and passion, yourself?
Well, I mean, yeah, we've been making music like this and in reaction to what you described for like a decade now. So ultimately, I don't feel as though a lot has really changed culturally in this country. I don't think a lot has really changed politically in this country. I think just more people are aware of just how deep the corruption and the hatred poor people are, and how like identities are weaponized to prevent us from actually banding together and uniting against like a corporate capitalist system that we are inspired to turn on each other rather than the very wealthy people at the top who are telling us that we're supposed to be afraid of certain things. And that has always been the case, historically speaking, in the United States. So like it's certain things are definitely worse and more dangerous than they've ever been in many different aspects, but it's also just as bad as it's ever been. And so yeah, it's I feel very lucky to have the band and to have each other and to have a place where we are actually like safe to be ourselves and we are safe to express ourselves, and our shows act as an extension of that, where like when you are in that room with us and you are in that experience with us, like we want everyone to be exactly who they are, and we want people to feel safe in environments around each other and not to feel as though their very like existence is in danger, because that's a tool of oppression. And yeah, we're not about that shit. So our shows are a safe space, not just for us as performers, but also for the entire audience.
That's really like really valuable stuff, like incredibly important. Even just like music venues can be really unwelcoming spaces for a lot of people, and like having ha being able to create environments where people feel safe, able to express themselves freely and just be there and be there fully is a powerful thing to be able to do.
I think it's very much an extension of like who the band is that's entering that space. Like, venues themselves have their own cultures for sure, but like it's the band that like creates the community every night in it. So like I kind of feel like that's a transferable energy of, like who are the people in the band? Like, what do they stand for? Like, mm-hmm. is it just music, or do they actually like have their own kind of belief systems that are still very like targeted and oppressive?
Yeah.
I know. And I think you can feel that energy when you're in the room at certain shows and you're like, oh, and this is coming from that, like, top down.
Yeah, absolutely. It's even just in like the energy of the space. It's there. There's something palpable for sure. So you're actually going to be in Calgary soon for a festival called Sled Island, which is running from June 21st to 25th. Have you been to Calgary before?
No, never. This is our first time.
Oh, right on. I've been through there once, and my biggest takeaway was it's incredibly flat, but okay. I've heard it's a wonderful city, and I'm really excited to see, like, just there's an incredible lineup for Sled Island this year. How are you feeling about it approaching so quickly?
I'm excited. Yeah. I think anytime that you have never played somewhere before and you get to go there for the first time and kind of, you know, like sample the flavor of a new place, it's very exciting. I think especially for how long we've been touring in at least like you know, the United States and Canada, there's few cities and places that like we haven't been to this point. So like when there's somewhere new to check off, it's like, ooh, okay, cool. We get to like see something new. We get to experience something new, which is always exciting for us. And I've heard great things about Sled Island from other artists who have played it. So I'm very excited to be part of it this year.
That's awesome. Is there any like other artists that you're particularly excited to like see? Are you going to be able to attend performances yourself, first of all? And if you are, do you have people you want to see while you're there?
I don't think we have time to see anyone else. We're only going to be in Calgary for 2 days. So it's kind of in and out for us.
Fair enough.
But I did like read over the lineup and I was like, oh, this is great. Like, no matter what show someone goes to, it's going to be a good time for them for sure.
Awesome. And I guess what day can people find you at Sled Island and what can they expect to see?
I have no idea. I don't know.
Like, that's okay. I can find that information.
Yeah, you'll have to find that out. I'd have to look that up. Yeah, I can only think on like week to week basis. So like I know that a little less than a month from now I'm flying to Calgary, but I don't know what day, I don't know what time. I don't even know like what venue we're playing at there, honestly. But I'm a little fried, but I know it's in Calgary.
Right on. Yeah, I mean, we all have the internet. Most of us have the internet. We can find that information. Okay, and then how about, I guess, like online, where can people, if they haven't heard your music before, where can they find it? And do you have social media that people can search out?
Oh, yeah. We're probably like the easiest band in the world to find if you know how to spell mannequin and a tech algorithm hasn't like censored us from existing. But yeah, it's basically just at Mannequin Pussy everywhere. So on like every platform except for on, I guess, like TikTok, I'm like at Mannequin Missy because they don't allow pussy in that way.
Such a
to be
controversial word for some reason.
Yeah, and continues to be and continues to inspire just, I don't know, like resistance and ire. But I think it says a lot about the way that I would say, like, you know, quote unquote, like things that are considered to be associated with a feminine are more likely to be considered obscene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can think about the implications of that. And we can certainly talk about them, but if I open my mouth, I won't shut up for like another hour about it. So
with that, like, why, I guess maybe why is not the right question, but it does seem that like you said, anything that has to do with like what are considered feminine expressions of sexuality are presumed to be more vulgar or like culturally not accepted, like just broadly, like for like, I guess, North American westernized culture. Is that something that you've like come up against a lot in your music or in your like,
I would say work? More so in our like lives.
Yeah.
Which maybe is then like represented and discussed within the music itself. But, you know, I think it's obviously, it's a tool that if you kind of have these, you know, I'm only speaking in like, I guess, binary terms right now for the ease to describe like oppressive states of being. But like, if you have like, you know, one gender, you know, like in a patriarchal system that believes that they have a supreme right to dictate the existence of all other people. So, you know, you have white men there. Obviously, they're going to use as a tool sexualizing bodies, and then not only in sexualizing them, but then calling them obscene so that they can then dictate how they are allowed to exist in public. Mm-hmm. So if you can if you can say that a body is obscene, then you've given yourself space and permission to then say, this is how it's allowed to exist. And that's just a tool that, you know, I think as I've gotten older, I'm like, oh, like that's why. Mm-hmm. You want to control the way that we like exist in these spaces, and we look in these spaces, and we express ourselves in these spaces. And if you can, you know, again, like villainize it, then you've given yourself space to try to control it.
Like power in the way that it's used to kind of control like our bodies and our like physical expressions reverberates so broadly and is very like deeply interlinked with like systems of like racism as well. It's just, I think, something that's very pervasive and that is not always like thought about as much, like in terms of like how it actually impacts like the way we are comfortable like being in our bodies out in the world. Like we control our movements differently, or we're told to, that we need to control our movements in particular ways so that we're not being perceived as like resisting these systems of control and then facing the like repercussions that might come from that resistance.
And I notice it more and more actually becoming a problem, because I think that, like, especially for America, it's becoming like, yeah, I think I could go off on this for a long time, but like I've been seeing it more and more kind of like in expressions of tech as well, where it's like there are certain like bodies and expressions that are correct, and then there are others that are meant to be like censored and tried to be erased because it doesn't fit this like puritanical idea of like what being pure is or something. Mm-hmm. And like we're starting to see how like even our tech platform, our big tech platforms, and are like now programming their own human biases like into algorithms. And so like we have like human beings, mostly men, mostly white, on a certain side of a computer who are actually programming their own biases into like what is and is not acceptable into the way that we now use tech. So like last month on TikTok, we discovered that they changed the algorithm so that if you went to search mannequin pussy, you couldn't find any of our songs. Like, I don't know if you ever have used TikTok, but like it, there's like a sounds bar where you can like use music in your videos and things like that. And they changed it so it was never a problem before, but then all of a sudden, if you searched mannequin pussy, nothing would come up. And I was like, what the hell happened here? Like, why is it suddenly whatever? And then I just like got really curious about it. And I kind of went down this rabbit hole and I searched, okay, what if I look up mannequin cock? Our music came up.
No way. Oh my God.
All of our music came up. I searched mannequin dick. All of our music came up. I searched pussy just on its own, complete censored. Like you can't search that at all. I searched cock on its own. Everything came up and it was like guys talking about like their cock size or how to use a cock ring and like all these different things. And I was like, wow, because once again, we have human beings on one side who are programming their own biases into things. And they're the ones who are like determining what is and is not obscene. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily we are in a place of, you know, some privilege and power that like we have a label, Epitaph Records, that is like strong within the industry and like has a lawyer department. And we were able to have them directly reach out to TikTok to make an exception like for us specifically. Mm-hmm. But like they were able to like get in contact with TikTok, and then TikTok changed the algorithm so that we are the exception for pussy, which is crazy and kind of cool.
Yeah.
But not cool that that was a issue to begin with, especially with like the strange loopholes of just like adding these different words that don't have to do with our band, but yield the same results. So, you know, that's a very almost like small example of the greater ways that like we are seeking to kind of like say what is and is not acceptable in society, and like really who gets to be in charge of that. And you know, people, that's what white supremacy is, it's appointing yourself to be the fine, like the judge, jury, and executioner of like what is and is not acceptable in a society. And I think we're reaching a point in our current culture and time where there's a mass pushback, because that is the way it has always been. But I think for a lot of people, like within our generation, like both Gen X, millennials, and now Gen Z coming together to be like, none of this makes sense. Like, this is a violent way to rule, and like, it's only for power.
Yeah. We're finding increasingly powerful ways to resist, which is a beautiful thing to see.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, when we don't have much power, we do have, you know, I think that's like why a lot of people are drawn to music and things like that, because it's a space to actually be yourself in a society that wants to dictate to you the type of person you are supposed to be.
So I guess as a closing question, just because I know you've had a really long week of busy, what does like rest and like the ultimate form of relaxation look like for you?
Well, my like ideal rest scenario, like after being on tour or like having a very busy week of, you know, like shows or work or whatever, is really, I'm someone who like needs to reset alone. So like my ideal like rejuvenation is to like be alone for about 48 hours and like clean my space. Like I'm in my house right now, and it's like kind of a mess because I've been in and out of it for like the last month basically. So they just have like piles of crap everywhere. But alone time, number one, cooking a meal for myself, exercising, and like finding like a sauna to sit in and think about my life. I've been like getting into meditation lately and like trying to find ways to calm my mind, because my mind is a very like volatile place to exist in. And I think it's something a lot of us can relate to. So, you know, just trying to figure out how to actually rest, because I feel like just like everything else, rest is something we actually have to practice at.
Yeah.
And like figure out what that actually means for our own personal body, and then how to actually carve that time and that space out, and to be intentional with the way that we spend time with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, especially I'm in like such an extroverted industry where like I have to be around people all of the time, and I wouldn't say that charges my batteries really. So yeah. Yes. I'm like really good alone time is very precious in a very like, you know, busy and crowded world.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you talking with me today.
Oh yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me to have this chat. Will you be at the show in Calgary?
I'm still deciding if I have the money to go. I was in New York recently.
How far are you?
I'm in Vancouver, so like one province over. Yeah,
pretty far.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the most expensive thing, but I also I spent a little too much in New York, so
yeah. It's an easy place to do that for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. But I hope you have a wonderful time, and I hope you get lots of good rest before you go.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Yeah. Welcome back. We just heard Control by Mannequin Pussy, and that is off of their most recent EP, Perfect. I know I said it already, but I'll say it again. Please listen to that EP. Yeah, for me, it was like it was my re-entry into punk music after taking some time to explore different genres, and it was possibly the like best re-entry I could have had. Yeah, I hope you really enjoyed hearing my conversation with Marissa. And again, Marissa and the rest of Mannequin Pussy are going to be playing at Sled Island on June 23rd. That is in Calgary. I hope you're all having a beautiful week. And I think this is the end of the show, really. So I will end my ramblings here and maybe just give us one more song before we head out. We will be listening to a track by Coed Dorms titled Dance With Me. I get a kick out of Coed Dorms stuff. It's very post-punky, very new wavy, and there's a distinct Talking Heads influence that you can hear in the way that they like structure their vocals. So Dance With Me. I encourage you to dance along if you want to. Big fan of dancing. And you know what? Let's play another song as well. Let's do Mother Tongue by Visibly Choked. And again, always a reminder, if you enjoyed this show, please stick around. CJSF has some wonderful programming and a wide diversity of programming, too. So you never know what you might learn, what you might hear in terms of some really sick music. So, yeah, stay tuned in. See what you might find.
I like to dance with you, like to dance. turning off.